This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It is my honor and privilege to stand with my brothers and sisters here in the city of Manchester in the United Kingdom. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has brought me from the furthest end of the earth, from this land, to make me and you from those who are gathered together in this life always in His worship. And if we don't meet once again, then we meet in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibadallah, I always, and I'm sure you will reflect upon our Ramadan as its conclusion comes to an end. And I begin to say to myself and you today that it is not too late. Subhanallah, as Ramadan enters, and it's almost as if this Ramadan has begun, that now its conclusion seems imminent. And for myself and you, we always take stock, and this muhasabah, this accountability that we take from ourselves is a sign of faith, where you regret what has lost, and where you anticipate hope for the future. You always think of the words of some of the those who have passed before us, who had that magnanimity of being servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he would say, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوها قبل أن توزنوا وتهيئوا للعرض الأكبر يوم لا تبلى السرائر. Account for yourself before the accounter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will account for you. And weigh out your deeds before Allah will weigh them for you. And prepare yourself for the day of display when no secret will be hidden. And we account for ourselves at the end of the month of Ramadan with the hadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask myself and you this question as I begin this khutbah today. Will my Ramadan be sealed with good? And what has preceded of me, has it been received by Allah with acceptance? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed and ascended his minbar on a Friday Jumu'ah khutbah, he climbed the first step and he made an oral dua. He said, Ameen. And the second step, Ameen. And the third step, Ameen, out loud, that those who were sitting could hear him. But this was something that they had not seen him do before. And he turned, and as if their puzzlement on his face instigated in him the desire to explain, فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَتَانِي جِبْرِيلُ فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, Jibreel was present and said to me, O Muhammad, and he spoke three words, three dua, the dua of the mightiest of the angels, the dua of the conveyor of revelation to all of the prophets, the dua of the guardian angel of Al-Anbiya and Al-Mursaleen. As I climbed the first step, Jibreel said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من أدرك رمضان ولم يغفر له فقطعه الله. May the one who lives to see the month of Ramadan, to be alive in its sacred, sanctified days, and does not earn pardon and forgiveness and expulsion of their sins from Allah, may the one who lives in Ramadan and does not earn maghfirah from Allah, may they be cut off from Allah. So I said, Ameen, out loud. This concept of being cut off from Allah is a serious statement. It's a serious dua. See, the lifeline you and I have in life, the only rope that attaches us to any safety or security, al-urwat al-wuthqa, the strongest handhold, the thing that if we let go of, we fall and plummet, ala shafa hufarin har, into a pit of destruction, is that statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, which is reciprocated by Allah answering us in when we plead of Him. But when you're cut off from Allah, you are makhdhul. And there's only two states you can be. Maqbool wa muqarrab, accepted and drawn near, or makhdhul wa matrood, or you are disgraced and put far, cut off to your own ability, left to your own devices. So the Prophet said, Ameen. See, the month of Ramadan is a month of opportune time. And as the days draw close to their completion, remember the dua of Jibreel. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen. Earning Allah's forgiveness in this month is not just by plentiful of siyam. It's not by how many hours you fasted. And it's not by how many rak'ah you performed for taraweeh. It's not numbers. It's not quantity. It's quality. And the heart was always the center of every affair that leads you to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ was informed by Allah to say to us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِكُمْ. Your Lord doesn't look to your figures or your physique, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. He looks into the depth of your heart, the sincerity it entails, and the deeds that follow from it. Standing before Allah at night, and fasting from hunger, with hunger and thirst in the day, are physical elements of siyam. But the intent of siyam was to quiet the heart, to quiet it from its lustful leanings to haram, to subdue its charge that leads us further away from Allah. The element of standing and making our prostrations into the depth of the night was to bring us closer to Allah. Fasjud waqtarib. Put your head into the ground. Submit yourself in servitude. And that way you will draw near to your maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Allah. And therefore in the month of Ramadan, don't find it strange that when Aisha radiallahu anha, in the final 10 days when the Prophet ﷺ would draw himself into worship and strengthen himself and leave off everything that called to the luxuries of the worldly life, when he made his i'tikaf and the nights of Laylatul Qadr was imminent, Aisha asked the question, what should I ask for, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You would think, you know, many of us, when we ask, we want the person to give us a long list. You know, sometimes you find these strange books, they get, say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ 1,000 times. Strange things. Something not established from the habit of the Prophet ﷺ. What you found, he gave one sentence. One sentence. He didn't say, ask for this and ask for this and ask for that. He said one thing. اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌّ. Honor Allah first. Oh my Lord, you love to pardon. You're the forgiver. Even if I'm not worthy, out of your habit, your essence of divinity, of who you are the pardoner, O Allah. I honor and love you because you love to pardon. Allahumma innaka afu, tuhibbul afu. You love to forgive. You love to pardon. You love to overlook the mistakes of your servants, your creation. Fa'fu anni, pardon me. Make me one who is worthy of this, O Allah. That's it. That's our aim. Your aim in Ramadan is nothing more. Your aim in Laylatul Qadr is nothing more. That if you're present, this is what you ask for. Oh Allah, I acknowledge my sinfulness and I acknowledge you're the one who expels. You're the one who forgives and you're the one who expunges. You're the one who can clear my record. Oh Allah, pardon me. Make me worthy of you subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the one who does not live in the days of Ramadan and earns Allah's pardon and forgiveness, may they be cut off. فَقُلْتُ Amin. Then I climbed the second step. And Jibreel said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَدْرَكَ وَالِدَى. O Muhammad, may the one who lives into the maturity of age of one or both of his parents, أَوْ أَحَدَهُمْ, وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَقَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. May the one who lives to see his father or mother, one or both of them, in their advanced age and does not earn Allah's forgiveness, may Allah cut them off, set them adrift by themselves. فَقُلْتُ Amin. And the ulama, they teach us that when two seemingly independent subjects are put together by the Prophet ﷺ, they're not as independent as you would outwardly think. See, the thing that is spoken of in the Qur'an immediately after Allah commanding you to honor and worship none but He, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. To treat your parents with ihsan, not husna, not to treat your parents good, But to treat them ihsana, an exceptional, unending, infinite attempt as being better as son and daughter today, and hope to be better the day after, and the day after, and the day after. Ihsana. You can't even make a sound of disrespect. Not a word. Not a letter. Not an SMS. Not a push. Not a shove. Not a look. Not even a sound. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. See, because some of us, we think because we're hungry and thirsty in the day and we stand at night, but our relationships with those who we should love, who we should honor, are in disrepute. We think that it's okay. I stood in Taraweeh 20 rak'ah. Alhamdulillah. And then I go home and I slam the door. I can't share a kind word to the woman who fed me before she fed herself, who clothed me while she wore worn out, ripped and tattered clothing, to a father who sacrificed his pride and faced racism. Each and every day he went out to work to put food in my mouth and clothing on my back. I come home now thinking 20 rak'ah has saved me from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi reports that Musa asked Allah alayhi salam, Ya Rabb, my Lord, من يلازمني أو يجاورني في الجنة. My Lord, who's going to be my neighbor in paradise? فقال الله له إنه سلاخ. It'll be a butcher. Butcher. It's a strange, subhanAllah. Butcher? Where is Harun and Yusha? Where are al-Anbiya? A butcher going to be my neighbor in Jannah? So Musa says, أرني هو يا رب. Show this man to me, O Allah. So Allah sends him on a journey, and there's many journeys that Musa took in his travels, and Allah says you will meet him next to this place and he will be selling. And as Allah described, Musa finds this man, had just slaughtered meat and took the best part of it and hid it and sold the rest. And Musa, a little bit before the night sets, he comes to the man and he says, I'm a stranger, gharib. Can I stay with you tonight? I want to know who you are. I need your help. He said, come to my home, but I will be busy for the first part, and then سَأَنْشَغِلُ بِأَهْلِي, I'll be busy with my family, then I can give you attention. Follow me. When they came home, Musa saw the man prepare a pot and add vegetables in it and cook the meat, left the meat cooking, and he went into the home and brought from the top roof of his house a basket. And in this basket was a frail, old woman. The man carried her to the river and bathed her and changed her وَمَشَّطَ شَعْرَهَا and combed her hair and washed the old soiled clothing that she had been in and put them to dry and carried her back, and by then the meat had been cooked. فَأَخَذَ مِنَ اللَّحْمِ He took from that meat and he chewed it. And after he chewed it, he puts it in her mouth. And every time he would feed her from the food that he had chewed for her, because her teeth were now missing due to the maturity of her age, Musa says that I could see her lips moving, but I can't hear her words. And then he put the basket up on the top shelf. And he turns to Musa and he says, نَزِلْتَ سَهْلًا Now I can come and look after you. Musa says to him, من هذه? Who is this person to you? فَقَالَ إِنَّهَا أُمَّهُ This is my mother. وَكَمْ تَخْدِمُهَا? قَالَ عَشْرُ سِنِينَ 10 years I serve her in this way. قَالَ لَهُ مَا تَقُولُ وَأَنْتَ تُطْعِمُهَا What does she say when you feed her? فَقَالَ إِنَّهَا تَدْعُ اللَّهَ لِي وَتَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْهُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ My mother, every time I feed her, the dua, she makes a dua for me. She says, Oh Allah, put him with the prophets of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Abdullah. Abdullah, my young brother. Your mother and your father are a gateway to Jannah. And your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of your siyam and your tahajjud, he tells you, Rid Allah. في رضا الوالدين. Allah's contentment is shown in the contentment your parents have with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to that middle door of Jannah, the door of our parents, Allahumma Ameen. May the one who lives and sees his parents and doesn't earn in their old age Allah's mercy and forgiveness, maybe they set adrift and cut off. فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. When I climbed the third step صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, قال جبريل يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من ذكرت عنده ولم يصلي عليك فقطعه الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. O Muhammad, may the one who hears you mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and does not send salah and salam upon you, does not make the durood and the salawat upon you, may they be cut off. فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameena innaka hamidun majid. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an amanah. He was a safeguard and a security for those who he lived with on earth. See, the prophets before him, it was not uncustomary that Allah will send a pestilence and a wrath of Allah would descend that would wipe them out. Nuh and Lut and Fir'aun, what happened to him with Musa alayhi salam, it wasn't strange that they would be wiped out. But the mushrikeen, they would come to the Prophet and they would say, أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ Ya Muhammad, you keep talking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the heavens would break asunder from the shirk that we do. Let it happen. So Allah responds to them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will not send wrath upon them just because you live amongst them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he records more than 39 blessings of sending durood and salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. And one of the things that I instill in myself and you here today is that the dua that you make for yourself is incomplete unless you begin and end by remembering Rasulullah ﷺ. The one who thought of you 1,000+ years ago before your arrival today. The one who restricted himself from dua promised by Allah. Every Prophet ﷺ, he said to us, was given a dua that would be answered by Allah. And all of the Prophet ﷺ and messengers before me made it except me. اختبأتُ دعوتي شفاعة لأمتي. I kept my dua with me and have not used it in this life so that I can intercede on your behalf in Jannah so that you will be admitted to Jannah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salla alayya marra." All of these are authentic hadith. The one who sends the salawat, the durood upon me once, sallallahu alayhi bi'ashra. Allah sends 10 blessings upon them. Once you remember him, 10 arrive to you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salla alayya marratan rufi'a biha ashra." The one who sends one salah upon me is raised 10 levels. And the imams say 10 levels in Jannah and 10 levels in this worldly life in the love that people have in their hearts for them. "Man salla alayya marratan hutta anhu ashr khataya." The one who sends salah upon me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 of their sins are forgiven. Ubay ibn Ka'b would hear this. Radiallahu anhu arda, and he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, li haja, I have a need. I have something I can't solve for myself. I have a problem. I need it to be solved. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to make dua for myself and include the salawat upon you in it. And I'm going to say, ask for myself 2/3 and one for you. Every 3 dua, one of them will be salawat upon you, O Messenger of Allah, and 2 for myself." The Prophet ﷺ said, "In zitta khair, if you increase, it's better." He said, "Half and half. One dua, I ask for my need, and one dua, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "In zitta khair." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, all of my dua is salah upon you. I'm not going to ask for myself." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idhan kufita hajatak." Whatever you are going to ask for is given. Whatever you would have wanted will be given. Because of the salah upon the Prophet ﷺ, your needs are met in that way, in honoring him before Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he shares some more of the blessings of the salah upon the Prophet ﷺ. One of them is that your name becomes known to him. The Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith that when you make salah upon him, عُرِدَتْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاتِي صَلَاتَكُمْ. When you make salah upon me, your salawat upon me arrives and is displayed for me to see. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, the one who makes salah upon me, رَضَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ رُوحِي. Allah returns life to me so I can return it to them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The blessing of the connection you have to the Prophet ﷺ is shown in your love of him, is displayed in you doing what Allah commanded you to do by beginning himself with it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Surely Allah sends his blessings upon the Prophet. And the angels ask Allah to send his blessings upon the Prophet. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. The one who hears me, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who hears his name and doesn't say صلى الله عليه وسلم, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut him off. فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals our month of Ramadan with forgiveness and acceptance. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us in this life and in the next life and saves us from the punishment of Jahannam.